I believe that Youth Left Behind is a grassroots organization, and we have the support of the community that believes in us. And we're not just interested in being a nonprofit, we're committed. We serve on days that's not funded by ECT. We partnership with the Sheriff Department, and we take children and enroll them in the Blazer Academy. 4 to 5 of our kids, every time they have the Blazer Academy, they're enrolled in there. And then they get to come back to the group and nominate another kid to go on a Blazer Academy for the next time.
Man, I heard this is not, I had not known who Hassan Hills was before, but, you know, he was talking about the Blazer Academy and a program that he runs called Youth Left Behind. They get referrals from the Department of Juvenile Justice. He says that they've got 15 referrals right now they're working with, and they've had zero recidivism. That is, I mean, God, if you get half, you're doing something amazing. But I also wanted to talk with Sheriff Chip Simmons about it, because he mentioned you guys with your Blazer Academy. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
And as I understand it, you you know Mr. Hills?
I have known Mr. Hills since he and I were both young men.
What is the nature of your relationship?
Well, and the reason I'll bring it up again is because some may have forgotten, and we talk about it at the Blazer Academy. He is one of my favorite people. He comes to the Blazer Academy, brings the kids that he's talking about, and on one of the days, he and I get up there and we talk about his specific cautionary tale. And back in the day, a much younger Chip Simmons was a narcotics officer, and a much younger Hassan Hills was not. And and so we had interactions together, and he was arrested a couple times, and I was the arresting officer in Hassan Hills. So
you arrested him?
Yes. Ultimately, wow. We ended up, the task force that I was involved in, ended up charging him federally, and he went to prison for life. Not just he, but he and his wife were sentenced to life in prison.
Wow.
For the drug trafficking right here in our community.
How long ago was this? Like 90s?
I was still
2000s?
A police officer, so this would have been the 90s.
Yeah, okay. 90s. All right.
And then, so fast forward, I'm the sheriff, and I get a message on my desk that says, call Hassan Hills at this number, please. And I'm thinking it's impossible because Hassan Hills is doing life in prison.
Yeah, he's forever behind bars.
Well, his prison sentence, him and his wife both, their prison sentences were commuted. So he's out of prison, and I agree to meet with him. And now he's making amends. He is doing great things for our community. He has a heart for our community. He has a drive. We've met several times. I have our Law Enforcement Trust Fund has sponsored one of the earliest sponsors for his programs. And again, he'll be there tonight. We have our Blazer Academy graduation tonight. So he'll be there with the kids that he brings with him. And that is the epitome of the programs that I believe, mm-hmm. just my opinion, that the Children's Trust should do, because he is hitting it where it needs to be hit. That is in his
right
heart
before
is in it.
or right in the vicinity, right with juvenile justice. So right
and
in the teenage,
a little bit older
in the
kids
teenagers,
sometimes than I got. Yeah,
where they're right on the cusp of being lost forever, or
absolutely
being rescued.
And sometimes they've already made some mistakes in the programs that he gives and provides.
Sure.
So and then some of those kids he brings to the Blazer Academy, not necessarily a spotless record, but they're the ones that. In his words, may have been left behind, and there's something that they need. So we work together, the Blazer Academy. He sends us, so some of the kids that are in his program, and we reserve spots specifically for Hassan to bring those kids
great.
Into the Blazer Academy. So, and this is kind of what I'm talking about, where all these programs hopefully can all get going in the same direction. We don't have to work together. We don't have to be in the same room every time, but we can work collaboratively and all in the same direction. And we talk about what we can do to, for the crime and all that stuff. And a lot of it is we need mentorship. We need programs like the Blazer Academy, like Youth Left Behind. And I heard on the way coming in here, the Children's Course, those are programs I think that, that can provide that mentorship to our children.
And he made a really interesting point. I haven't had a chance to play these clips. I will later because I think it's so interesting what he's doing and important. He made the comment, he said, if we give kids a 12-week program, we're just hurting them. They need so much more. They need wraparound, continuous support. I mean, you can't teach somebody the kinds of skills and fix the kinds of challenges that they've had in one short course. You can make a big difference. Yeah. But, it's like you're teaching them all the good stuff and then throwing them right back in the same spot again.
Yeah, and that's why we're looking at doing like a refresher alumni type Blazer Academy program.
Yeah.
Ourselves, for those who have gone through our program that come back in, let's have an advanced class. Let's go a little bit farther than that. In fact, we're going to look into doing that next year. This will be tonight is a graduation for our men's class.
This is sixth, seventh, how many?
This is six
for the boys, Blazer and you've Academy. Had two for the girls?
We've had three
for the girls. Okay. And each class is how many?
Somewhere around 50, but we try to settle in about 25.
Wow.
And they fill up pretty quick.
So we're talking on the verge of 200 kids-ish
Something like that.
Wow, that's just fantastic. Good news for today is I don't want to say it out loud too much, but we haven't had too many big high-profile.
You can't whisper on a radio.
I guess you can't.
You can't.
A lot of people hear it, even if I do.
There's no secrets,
so,
Andrew.
Yeah, fair enough. I did have a question for you on a lot of different subjects. I had a question for you about one is cops. Mm-hmm. Got a question for, when are you going to do cops again? Are you going to do cops again? Even though it's not on broadcast TV, it's still out there. And?
Right. Yes, we are. We've been talking to them. We should have them in here in a couple of months probably. They'll start filming. And so you'll see the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, your Escambia County Sheriff's Office, back on cops here shortly. Because my thought is we don't have anything to hide. And look, we got cameras all over our cars and our deputies anyways. And let's show the people what we're doing at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
What about, what's the other one, Live PD?
Is that Patrol Live.
On Patrol Live.
We haven't really been involved in them.
Okay.
I don't know why they haven't called us, but cops. I think they realize that cops is all over the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and we have plenty for them to do.
But, sheriff's deputies coming back from deployment to Madison County, right? You guys were with the EMS from Escambia and Santa Rosa in Madison County, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we left on Friday, a week ago, I guess, and so when we went over there to kind of help wherever they needed it, and most of Madison County is rural.
Okay,
so there was a lot of you can't respond to calls because there's trees over the road. You can't get power companies in there because there's trees all over the road. So what we do is when we deploy is we do whatever is necessary. We do whatever can help them to get back on their feet as quick as they possibly can. So, we have been deployed over there, been working with some folks from Okaloosa County, but obviously our Escambia County EMS, Emergency Management and EMS, I guess.
Right.
And then we also have been working with St. John's County. I've been talking to Sheriff Hardwick over there, and we've been kind of, giving them what they don't have, and they give us what we don't have. So, and that's how we do it. We coordinate. So we will be demobilizing or returning home probably late this afternoon or evening because, we've done what they needed us to do, and now they're back on their feet enough to where they can go ahead and take care of things on their own. Plus, there's so many agencies around there, so many small communities and mid-sized sheriff's offices that have been, it's like if something happened in Okaloosa or Santa Rosa County, we can easily bring our deputies over there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need people from South Florida or, from Pensacola.
Gotcha. BYOC, bring your own chainsaw?
We brought over everything.
And your Bobcats.
And
your
Bobcats and sleeping quarters and everything.
Same device that tears down a drug house in Escambia County can be used to move a tree off the road in Madison County.
Well, we're still tearing down houses here. So, I said tearing down houses. We're still kicking in doors
kicking
indoors
here, right?
Yeah.
35? Is that the number I saw earlier?
Yeah, that was the number back then. So, I keep talking about our guys are doing a fit jam up job with
drug houses, by the way.
Drug houses. Yeah. One. I mentioned it, and I guess they quoted me as saying, "Wait, one kick at a time. Door kick at a time. We knock first, just so we're clear. We knock.
There
first.
Is the law.
We give people an opportunity to answer the door. Before we kick it in.
I love that. Enforcement of laws, obviously it's October 1st, so it is the first day of the new anti-camping ordinance put in by the state. The county, by my assessment, has taken zero action to either provide a legislative framework or to even think about providing a camp of some kind that's allowed by statute but not required by statute. They can't get sued until January, so there's no action.
Right.
There's no consequence for failure to act until then, but you guys have kind of been stuck out in the front of the storm with no protection here because, to me, you'd be the agency to move people illegally camping, but then what? And are you going to be required to do that? And so what's your agency doing today, if anything?
Well, we have been meeting with for months now. We have kind of had an eye towards October.
Yeah.
Thinking that the county may call us and say, "Hey, we have people on the right of way. Can you help remove them per state law?" So we're prepared for that. We're ready, certainly willing to do what needs to be done. but we haven't had, and we've had some conversations with the county about some specific places, but we have not been requested to remove anyone from the right-of-way as of
yet. At least not yet.
Okay. We are waiting, and we're willing to do that if the county would give us a call.
On that note, the law that prohibits people standing in a median that is less than 6 feet wide in Escambia mm-hmm. County, quite a bit different from the city code of not allowed to engage in the activity with the cars, but that's the way the county went. I've seen your deputies. You know, I think it was in 29, I saw them out with somebody in the median.
Right.
But how has that enforcement been going? I personally worried that one of the problems with that law was the way it was worded. So, for example, like the off-ramp to Davis from I-10,
right.
That is too big. You can't enforce
there. Yes, I just drove
there.
By there. There's an individual that's...
There's always somebody there.
Panhandling there, but
it's too
larger
large.
Than the ordinance says. And the ordinance itself says you have to wait 2-3 light cycles and all this mess. But anyways, that's
how is enforcement of that going?
It's going fine. Our deputies are aware of the ordinance and as time permits, they will stop and let people know and give them the warning that they need. And
is it adequate? Is that law adequate to in your opinion to curbing this problem?
I think that law is actually going to be more or less antiquated once the new state statute starts to get enforced. Because once you can't camp or sleep on public right of ways, then I think that ultimately there will be some that's some remedy for some of the situation that we have,
okay.
which is with regards to the sheer mess that's on our sidewalks and the defecation on the sidewalks and all that sort of thing. I think that there's going to be some resolution here shortly.
We always kind of like to end on a good note, and this is actually a really good one. If people want to find you today, they can find you. Or tomorrow. Today,
well, they can always find
you
somewhere.
They can always find
you,
right.
Yeah.
But today you're going to be eating good at Bubba's 33?
Well, yeah, I always eat pretty good. just so we're clear. We will have Bubba's 33 has agreed to have what we call dining with deputies. So 10% of the proceeds for lunch and dinner today will go towards the Sheriff's Foundation. So we will be there. I'll be there for lunch. As I said earlier, I can't be there for dinner because we have the Blazer Academy graduation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we will certainly be there for lunch. And then we have coffee with a cop on Wednesday morning.
Okay,
well.
Where's that at?
That's at Kia.
Oh, okay.
Sport on 29.
Just one question. It's a weird question, but are you guys configured that if people want to give to the foundation while they're at Bubba's, they want to buy their meal and 10% goes, but they just want to make a donation? Are you set up to be able to receive that somehow?
Yeah. We have some literature that's there at Bubba's, okay. and there's a QR code that people can do that.
Very good.
Or they can just eat and then know that 10% of that.
The more they eat, the more you get.
Foundation. And again, the foundation supports the Blazer Academy.
Yep.
The foundation supports a lot of our movie nights,
mm-hmm.
and it supports the men and women, the well-being of the men and women of the sheriff's office.
I did say last thing, but this is actually the last thing. We talked a little bit about this yesterday with Sheriff Johnson. We've had a lot of motorcycle accidents here lately, and you know, we'd had the question of, is it legal to drive in between the cars, and some uncertainty about that, and people want to know. But just in general, you know, your voice of authority, people will pay attention to you. Anything you can tell either drivers or motorcycle riders, you know, who are both responsible
right.
for the safety, you know, on the roads. But any thoughts about the sort of large number of crashes and fatalities we seem to have had here lately?
Yeah, I've thought the same thing. I was thinking, man, we've had a lot of these. And at one point we had two motorcyclists and a car driver killed or seriously injured.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's both ways. So I think that as a motorcyclist, you have to understand your vulnerabilities. And you got a lot of power under you. You don't have mm-hmm. to use it all the time, and you need to be aware of that. And you also have to understand that people may not see you. But obviously you're a motorist in our county or on a roadway, you need to understand that people might, whether it's a bicycle, whether it's an individual walking across the street, you need to be very aware and use those safe driver techniques so that you don't get injured. As an individual that found myself on the bad end of a motorcycle versus a car crash years ago. This is near and dear to my heart, and so I would encourage everyone to pay attention to those motorcyclists when you're changing lanes, when you're pulling out. A lot of it is speed related
mm-hmm.
or a traffic signal or a stop sign violation. So if we can stop that, if we can pay more attention to those sorts of things and stop with this distracted driving business,
mm-hmm.
then I think it'll go a long way towards motorcycle safety and driver safety.
I know sometimes people will say, well, that motorcycle is small, fast, and hard to see. Yeah, but people run into school buses. So I'm not sure you can blame it all on
a week ago, small, fast, and hard to see. Building.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Right. It's, you know, so there may be other issues as well.
I talk a lot about personal responsibility.
It's a lot of,
and I think that goes towards, you know, motorcycles, and it goes towards people that are in pickup trucks or whatever kind of cars you're driving.
Absolutely. Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, sir, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for what you're doing to, you know, reach the community, Blazer Academy, all that kind of stuff. I appreciate it. And, you know, meet people at the Bubba's 33 or coffee, wherever. You're always everywhere. So I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.